You're a fool, Dr. Ellison. Ha-ha! University College Hospital, Gower Street, London. 10th of May, 1838. The girl sat impassively at the centre of the stage, while the lecture theatre filled with people. As the spectators poured through the doorway and squeezed along the narrow wooden benches, she seemed oblivious to their presence, lost in a world of her own. Some of the men, for the audience was composed predominantly, if not entirely, of men, brought out spectacles or opera glasses so they could scrutinize the girl more closely as they took their seats. Through their lenses, they could see her ghostly pale face with its dainty features and dark eyes fringed by long black lashes. She wore her hair piled on top of her head in a profusion of flaxen ringlets, which set off her handsome Grecian features, according to one observer. She had the head and face of a child, but the mature body of a young woman, said another. In fact, she was 17, though small for her age. She seemed poised on the point of puberty, an innocent girl on the brink of womanhood. Silent and still, she appeared neither to notice the men's arrival nor to mind their attention. The tiered benches that rose on three sides of the room were now filled to capacity, yet still people arrived. Chairs were set out on the floor of the lecture theatre to accommodate more guests, and once these were taken, the latecomers had to stand at the back and in the aisles. As the excited chatter grew, so the temperature in the room rose. Although the morning had started out unseasonably frosty, it had turned into a bright, warm, dry afternoon. At last, the theatre was filled to bursting, and the door was closed. The spectators shifted in their seats and craned their necks for a better view. The journalists lifted their pens in readiness. All were impatient for the performance to begin. In the summer of 1838, there was no more thrilling place to be. For the 300 or so invited guests who crowded the lecture theatre in Gower Street, this was the hottest ticket in town. At theatres and entertainment halls across London, audiences could laugh at pantomime, or cower at melodrama, gasp at daring acrobatics, or blush at risque cabaret. Yet none of these could match the novelty of the spectacle set to unfold in the lecture theatre of the capital's newest hospital. Those lucky guests who had begged, beseeched, or bartered an invitation had been promised theatre and pantomime, farce and cabaret, all rolled into one. The display they had come to watch was the chief talking point in every gentleman's club and scientific society, every plush dining room and plain servants' hall throughout the nation. As one journal remarked, it was scarcely possible to join a dozen persons in any society where the topic was not a subject of serious discussion. But this was not titillation for the masses. This was not entertainment for entertainment's sake. The spectacle the distinguished audience had come to see was being staged in the name of science. For they had all gathered to bear witness to an extraordinary force of nature, which held out the prospect of a significant advance in medicine.